It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your host, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is the gorgeous Renee Kielhoffer. How are you doing this morning?
Sweet. I'm good. How are y'all?
I am blessed and highly flavored with his favor. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for this morning is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we have together. Father, we just invite you into this time and we give it to you. Father, we ask for your anointing to be on the words that are spoken and to be on our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Free of me. Girl, I need that.
Yeah.
Even more.
Don't we all? It's actually a Bible study that our women's group is going through right now, and it's been really good. So I just wanted to share a little bit of it with you guys today, what we've been talking about. But this is the book, Free of Me, by Sharon Hod Miller, and it's about why life is better when it's not about you.
Come on.
It's very freeing, because the more that we empty ourselves of us, then the more room there is for the Holy Spirit to fill us with himself. So focusing on yourself can actually just kill you and everything good in your life. It's destructive and toxic, and it can destroy you. I wanted to read a quote by Christine Kane, which I thought was really good. It says, are you looking for accolades? Are you looking for applause? Are you looking for approval? Because that stuff will kill you. The devil will make sure you get all of that, especially early and especially young, so that you then collapse when you're unapplauded, when you're unapproved, when you're unaccepted, and when you're unwanted. And when I read that, my mind immediately went like to child stars. You know, they have this great success young, and everything's all about them. And then as they kind of age out of their child role, a lot of times it's difficult for them to find a new niche. And we hear the tragic stories of taking their own life or winding up with substance abuse and, you know, all kinds of things. But it can happen even with, like, quote unquote, normal people, whatever that is. You know, I have figured out there's like no such thing as a normal person. But, you know, let's say someone who's not a child star, even in your household growing up, if you had loving, attentive parents who affirmed you and applauded your successes and told you how wonderful you were, and then you get out in the big bad world after graduation and find out everyone doesn't think that, you know, I'm really not all that, you know, it can be devastating. When I was growing up, I was a senior in high school, and we moved to Mississippi. Well, we had moved to Altus when I was in kindergarten. So I had been in the same school, the same church, the same group of friends since kindergarten. And all of a sudden I'm moving to Mississippi where my family is from. My dad's military. And so both my mom and dad are from Mississippi. But I found out real quick that I didn't know how to make friends. I was not, you know, all that like I thought I was. And it was a very lonely and devastating time, because failure can breed insecurity if we're self-focused or self-preoccupied. So when we fail, it just magnifies that. And we wind up being isolated and alone, which if you find yourself wanting to isolate, that's a red flag. There are some issues that we need to talk about. And we wind up going down that comparison road. You know, what's wrong with me? And comparison can crush you. Because I like to remind people, when we compare ourselves to other people, we're comparing their outside to our inside. And the difference is apples and oranges. So the line between doing good for goodness sake, just to, you know, for the sake of being good, and doing good for appearance sake can become increasingly blurry. So, you know, ask yourself this. Do you need to feel good? Do you need to be liked in order to feel good about yourself? Mm. Do you need that endorsement from other people in order to feel good about yourself? I think if we're honest, it certainly helps. You know, it may not be the end all, but it does help. And so if we're not careful, it's very easy to evolve into kind of a serial people pleaser, where we never want to say no to anybody because we don't want them to be mad at us. We don't want them to let us down, because you see what you're doing is you're turning all of that around to where it's about you. And for many, you know, many Christians, part of that niceness is really about me, which I think it's interesting that there is a difference between kindness and niceness. And kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, but not niceness. So I looked these words up, and niceness means pleasantness, agreeable, friendly, cordial, but kindness means behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, rendering assistance or concern for others without expecting praise or reward. Mm. There's kind of a really big difference there. So really, our behavior doesn't necessarily need to change as much as our focus needs to change. And that's kind of what this study is all about. Because the prophets, you know, were never accused of being nice. Because when you speak the truth and you live courageously, people won't always think you're nice. You may have to make the unpopular stand or say the thing that cuts a little bit or pierces a little bit. And that's really, truly the height of kindness, is when you care enough to speak the truth into someone's life. They may not see it as kindness, but it truly is kind. So self-control or self-centered, when we say self-centered or a person is self-centered, we usually think of a person who is very selfish and kind of oblivious to the people around them. It's like obvious, you know, your life is all about you. That's what we think of when we say self-centered. But think about this. If we are busy nurturing that nice Christian girl image, then that self-centeredness not only prevents me from caring about my neighbor, it actually requires me to do that. You see what I'm saying? So when, but it may not necessarily be about my neighbor. It may be about managing my image with people. So, because being nice to people, that's a surefire way to get accepted. And so, if I need your acceptance to feel good about me, well, then I'm going to be nice to you, even if that's not all clicking in my head and I don't really realize that's what I'm doing. Because that's how subtle self-focus is. It just like creeps in on the back of good intentions, and we don't even know it. We think we're being the good Christian girl and doing the godly thing, when really the satisfaction is what we're after more than anything else. I know I read an article years ago about Mother Teresa, and that the journalist asked her, like, how do you deal with all of the accolades, because she'd been on the cover of all these magazines and won all these prizes, and, you know, people were constantly praising her and hailing her as a saint, literally. And she said, every day when I get a compliment or a praise, I receive it as if it's a flower. And at the end of the day, I present that bouquet to my Savior. And I thought, what a beautiful way to put that. And so, you know, at the end of the day, ask yourself, do I have any flowers that I can present to my Savior? Because if there is anything good in me, it's because of Him. Amen. Not because of me at all, because I'm going to get me in the way of what God wants to do. And it can become like idolatry of self. And it's so subtle. I think it's almost epidemic in the church world, and we don't even realize that's what's going on. When we make everything about us, you know, maybe a friend doesn't say hi, or the cashier is rude, or it's like everything is, comes down to how does it affect me? And sometimes it could be totally innocent. I know one time I went to Walmart and I was like on a mission for something. You know how you get. And every time you go in there, everything's in a different place. So you have to look for it. And I was on a mission for whatever that item was that I went in there for. And that next Sunday at church, a lady came up to me and she said, well, I saw you in Walmart and you looked straight at me and didn't say a word. And I was like, I am so sorry, ma'am. I did not look straight at you. I looked straight through you. You know? Yeah. Because I was looking for something and it was not clicking. But I think sometimes that's what's happening, but we make it about us. Like, they were so rude, or they don't like me, or they're a hypocrite, or they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. When in actuality, they just didn't see you. You know, that would not have been the response had they seen you. Psalms 139, verses 23 and through 24 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I love this verse. At the women's conference, Jada Edwards kind of talked about this, and being bold enough to allow the Holy Spirit to search me, to do that investigation, to find those things that I have accepted as okay, but are really getting in the way of what God may want to be doing in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick Warren said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And I think we sometimes think that when we say, oh, I'm nothing, or I'm, you know, negative things about myself, that that's being humble. And the reality is that is not. It's like he said, it's thinking, not even thinking about myself. You know, the less we have I in our thoughts, then the less we're thinking about ourselves, and the more our focus can be on God and other people. I mean, you're never going to be able to forget yourself entirely, but you can be free of thinking about yourself all the time. And the world, you know, kind of gives a view of freedom as independence to do whatever you want to do. I'm free. You know, I can do what I want to do. But the gospel view is actually freedom of sin and freedom of the flesh, not to live however you want, but to live for God. Freedom means you're no longer bound by that tyranny of your flesh and your every little desire. You're not having to follow that. Now you're free of following those fleshly desires that are going to lead you down a bad path. It's not about a greater independence, but more about a greater dependence on Him. That's what true freedom is. And that's the freedom that we're built for. And when we can reach that level of freedom, that's when we reach that soul rest, you know, where our soul can rest. And that's really an ultimate goal, is to, for your mind and your body to be at rest. So in order to do that, you cannot be your focus.
Come on.
And listen to this. I thought this was really good. If your faith exists to make you feel better about yourself, you're going to veer off course. And sometimes we as Christians, that's even the way we present the gospel. You know, follow Christ and He'll make you feel good about yourself, because He says you're loved. He says you're the apple of His eye. He died for you, and all those things are true. But when we own it as a focus to feel better about ourselves instead of a gratitude toward the Savior, it can get out of balance very quickly. So the problem is not our self-esteem, it's our focus. And God is not a quick fix for low self-esteem. And actually, sometimes when we're serving God, we're actually serving ourselves. And that self-focus actually makes our self-esteem worse, because the self-focus magnifies our flaws. We see all of it, and we're constantly aware of it. And so it really makes it worse. I wanted to read you just a little bit of some research results from this book, which I thought was just blew my mind. It talks about how between 1940 and 1990, the number of books mentioning self-esteem more than doubled. And this research comes from a book called Generation Me: Why Today's Young Americans Are More Confident, Assertive, Entitled, and More Miserable. And the research is really cool. She says between 1960 and 2008, American books contained more of the following phrases. Just be yourself became 8 times more frequent. Learned about myself 4.6 times more frequent. Believe in yourself 6.5 times more frequent. Express yourself was 2 times more frequent. Respect yourself 2.7 times. Be honest with yourself 3 times. Love yourself 5.7 times. I love me 6.7 times. And stand up for yourself was 6 times more frequent. And even now, you know, every commercial you see is pointed at how to make your dreams come true, how to make your life better. It's all about you. And books with the words like I, me, and mine have been on a steady increase. And in 2013, the Oxford Dictionary declared selfie as the word of the year. Now think about that, because doesn't the word say that we're supposed to die to self? But the world is magnifying self everywhere we look. So the result is a generation of young people who simply take it for granted that we should feel good about ourselves. We are all special, and we deserve to follow our dreams. Where prior to 1940, the goal was simply to provide for your family. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all about me. It was about what can I do for my family. That was the main goal. The research also showed how what started out as a focus on self-esteem eventually became focus on self. And so in spite of all the efforts to improve self-esteem through this campaign and raise a generation of children who liked themselves, two things happened. First, the self-esteem of some young people actually dropped. In 2013, a study of girls ages 16 to 18 found that their self-esteem is suffering more than girls in the past. The percentage of girls who were unhappy with their appearance rose from 26% to 29% to 33% over a two-year period. Unhappy with the way I look. Low self-esteem is one of the most common mental health problems facing girls today, alongside depression and eating disorders, which low self-esteem will breed that. In fact, by the age of 15, girls are twice as likely to become depressed as boys. That's just crazy. And second, the failure of the self-esteem movement it's less surprising, but it says after all the work to boost self-esteem, some people became self-absorbed. And instead of raising people with high self-esteem, we raise little narcissists. Mm-hmm. And that hit me hard, not that I believe I have a narcissist, but that word. I have heard that word so much in the last 2 or 3 years. Oh, they're a narcissist, or this is what a narcissist does, or this is narcissistic behavior. And I really have heard that more in my life than I ever have before in the last couple of years. And I do think we can trace it back to that low self-esteem movement. What's the world going to do to change the low self-esteem in children? Well, what the world does never works.
Come on.
That's what we have to understand. We have all of this stuff out there saying, you know, do this, do that, and this is your answer. But unless the answer is Jesus, you don't have an answer. You just have more problems and more questions. Mm-hmm. And that's where the breakdown comes in. Research shows that people with high self-esteem pose a greater threat to society than people with low self-esteem. What were we doing? What were we thinking? We weren't asking God what we should do. We weren't asking Him how it should play out, because our insecurities and fears can be traced back to an unhealthy focus on ourselves. Whoever said we were so important that everything else should stop because of us? Everything in our life should stop because we're not feeling it at the moment. It's crazy. There is a freedom in self-forgetfulness. When we can get to that place where I'm not thinking about me, there's a freedom there. But it's hard to get there because self-preoccupation is our human default. That's just where we go. But we have to get beyond the point of self-help faith. I love that, because I love this study, because I have literally walked into Bible bookstores before and seen a section of books called self-help. Mm-hmm. And it just like makes my spirit cringe. And I didn't really understand why, other than the fact that we can't help ourselves. And when the world throws all of this self-help nonsense out there to us, and we receive it and try to act on that, what we're saying is, I don't need you, God. I got this. I've got it figured out. I've got a plan. I can handle it. I'll let you know if I need you. And we cannot help ourselves do anything. The only way we're going to help ourselves is to fall on our knees and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And get our focus and our gaze back on him. And that self-help has just creeped into the church and become, you know, almost one of our fundamentals of our faith. You know, we talk about, oh, I'm so sorry. We talk about how we need to understand who we are in Christ. And we do. We do need to understand who we are in Christ because of what he did for us. Because of how much he loves us in spite of us. Not Amen. Because of us. We can never measure up and be worthy of that. He didn't do all of that because we were so self-aware that we became something worth loving. No, he did that exactly the opposite, because we could never be worth loving. So he loved us anyway. That's what's so cool. So cool. And self-care is important, but it's not why we exist. And feeling good about ourselves is not the prize. Do we need to pray?
Wouldn't now be a good time?
It's a good time. It's always a good time to pray.
Amen.